God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. We are chosen by God, chosen to follow him, chosen to be Christians. As he says, it is not we who chose him, but he who chose us. And so we rejoice that he has chosen us. But what that call means is going to look a little different for each of us, of course. You know, marriage, priesthood. And then another, these readings really hearken to, is the religious life. Today is also the feast of the Holy Father, St. Benedict. I spent my first 2 years of seminary at a Benedictine monastery, and so I continued to kind of be a son of St. Benedict, as it were. And he became the patriarch of Western monks because he wrote the Rule of St. Benedict, which he just called the Rule. And it became, throughout Europe and indeed many other parts of the world, the standard for Western monasticism, for Western monks, and eventually for Western sisters as well. His sister, Saint Scholastica, was the abbess of a nearby community. And so in their call to the religious life, we see that radical transformation that is within them, that radical call to serve Christ by way of the gospel. In today's gospel, we see exactly this, that the 12 were summoned, and he sent them out two by two and gave them authority over unclean spirits. In other places, he sends them out again. He sends the 70 or the 72, depending on which manuscript you're looking at. And again, two by two, with many of the same instructions. They're a little slightly different depending on the situation, because Christ, I mean, he sets the standard, but he also, there's a little bit of fluidity there depending on the situation. And so they take a walking stick, no food, no sack, no money in their belts, because they need to depend on God, not on themselves. And they want to have that radical dependence on him. They can take sandals, which is nice, because you do a lot of walking in the Holy Land, right? These guys are really strong. They walked in the 115-degree heat all the time. And they had the one tunic, but you weren't allowed to take a second one. The idea is that we detach from the things of this world. St. Gregory the Great, who was also a Benedictine, said that we live in the world, but we are not of the world. And that means that we make use of created goods, but we don't let them possess us. We have possessions, but they don't possess us. And I think in a prosperous society, that is one of our pitfalls, that we take too much comfort in our possessions. As I mentioned at the other masses last week, comfort is the enemy of the spiritual life. When we're too comfortable, bad things happen, and we forget God. But in recalling God, in returning to him, we're able to leave those things behind, sometimes completely, especially like the religious life, and taking that vow of poverty, that leaving everything behind in order to serve Christ and his gospel, just as the apostles did. It may also be that we continue to use those things, but only to the extent that we need. We make use of them, but we don't really care one way or another whether we have them or not. That way, we can always be connected to God and not let our possessions possess us. Because nothing can get in the way of God and his mission for us. He calls us. And most often, it's us who do not heed that call, because we distract ourselves with all these extra things. Amos heard the call of God, that he needed to be a prophet. He didn't want to be a prophet, you know, he was a shepherd and a dresser of trees, you know. But God called him to be more. And he said, all right, I'll do it. But eventually, it was like, yes, I am a prophet. And I live that call that God has given me. Even in the face of oppression, when others snub our call, when they say, why are you a priest? Why can't you get married? Why don't you have things? Why do you answer to somebody else? I say, no, God has called me to this life. and I am joyful that he has done so, because in spite of any and all difficulties, this is where I can find fulfillment, in doing what God has asked me to do. And that goes for all of us, in the little things and in the big things. So we have to be like Amos, in following his call in the midst of all the things around us. Because we believe in God. We believe in his kindness, his mercy. We believe that he has salvation for us. And we follow him, you know, wanting that so badly. And he gives us many great things by following him. Kindness and truth shall meet, and justice and peace shall kiss. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and justice shall look down from heaven. Although the wicked seem to prosper in this world, we see that their end is destruction. But ours is the glorious kingdom of heaven. Because God gives us what we need. He supplies us for the journey. St. Paul's great hymn today, the from Ephesians 1. Those of us who pray the liturgy of the hours, the evening prayer, Vespers, we recognize this one well. Because not only do we do it once a week, we also do it on major feast days. Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavens, because he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Before we existed in you know, our soul and body being formed together, God had us in his mind, in his heart, and knew what he wanted us to do. And so in putting us into this world through our parents, he longs for us to follow him in that. And it's up to us to follow that or to not follow that. But he's there all the time, beckoning to us, helping us. The saints and angels help us. So it's not just us who's making this decision. We are surrounded by the cloud of witnesses, helping us to follow him. Because God has done such great things for us. He's lavished his gifts, his graces upon us. And so, we have been chosen, destined in accord with the purpose of the one who accomplishes all things according to the intention of his will. That beautiful language just means God has a plan for you, and he wants you to follow it. And so we have to be open to that in our prayer and in our action. You know, even in the secular parts of life, we can glorify God and serve him by doing it well. St. Benedict's words for his monks were ora et labora, prayer and work. Because we glorify God and serve him in both. In our prayer, when we draw close to him and join with the saints and angels in heaven. And in our work, even in menial tasks that seem to have no purpose. We can glorify God in those by doing a good job. I recall in Houston one time when I was a seminarian, and there was some people who offered to fix my cassock for me because I had like a tear in it. And so I contacted them, dropped it off with them, and they said they were going to call me back. They never called me back. I tried to call them, and they didn't answer. And I finally got a hold of them, and they were like, yeah, it's ready. You can come pick it up. I was like, okay, good. So I went and picked it up, and I was ready to pay and kind of talk to them about their work. And they were like, oh, no, that's fine. Yeah, that's for free. And I'm like, I would rather you charge me and do a good job. Because giving stuff away for free and doing a crappy job is not good. We need to take pride in what we do, a healthy sense of pride. We don't want to let that pride overcome God, obviously. But by doing things well, by doing things right, we can show people that as Christians, we're integrated. We have integrity. That every part of our life is imbued with the Christian spirit in wanting to do it well for the service of others. Make sure that what you do is for the service of others. Occasionally, it has to be for the service of ourselves in order to maintain that spirit of service for others. For example, I'm taking a retreat this week, so got to take care of ourselves in order to take care of others. But we have to always keep that at the forefront of our mind. How can even my secular work help others? That is the Christian spirit. And that is the root of the religious life, but also all of our lives. So be open to what God calls you to. Glorify God because he has done great things for us. I invite you this week to pray with the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians, just that first chapter. It's a beautiful hymn to God, a hymn of thanksgiving. Remember that he has called you and wants you to follow him. And let us help one another to follow him with great joy.